It's amazing how much can change in a week. Or actually, if we look back at the week, it's amazing what could change in 48 hours. You know, as we reflect on just everything going on, and hopefully most of you received the email that went out. If not the email, we've been posting information on Facebook and the church website. Just wanted to highlight just a few things. Some of the things that Dave already shared in the opening. We made the choice this week to not cancel services and just use some general common sense approach in how we handle things today. But we also, as Dave said, it's a fluid situation. We're monitoring it. And our goal is to use wisdom, not be on either extreme of dismissing things or creating panic, just using wisdom and listening. We also have a responsibility. We have to listen to what our denomination at a district and national level, as well as state and government officials as well. So just know everything is fluid, but we did want to encourage you, not only, I mean, obviously you're here, you know we have services, that was communicated that we were proceeding, but we are encouraging folks, if you're sick, stay at home and rest. Don't come and share it. But also, if you have physical vulnerabilities, we encourage you, and this is, you're hearing it. If you're listening to the news at all, you're hearing that. If you have physical vulnerabilities, please avoid as much contact with others as possible. So we encourage you, don't feel guilty if you choose not to come to church based on a physical need and being vulnerable. We encourage you to feel free to stay at home. And again, you hear, I mean, how many of you 2 weeks ago heard the term social distancing? That's a new term in our vocabulary for the most part. We are encouraging just to be smart in how we interact with folks. We are discouraging handshakes, hugs. I know the scriptures say greet each other with a holy kiss. None of that either. But so we're just trying to use caution. But at the same time, as was shared this morning too, we are going to continue to keep you up to date through the tools of communication we have. But I just want to re-echo what's been shared already earlier, what Jim was sharing, is look for opportunities. There is a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety right now, and we do have opportunities to make phone calls, check in on your neighbors. If you have neighbors or friends or family or coworkers, people in the community that you know fall into that vulnerable population, call them. Offer, see if they need anything, offer to go get groceries for them, do some practical needs and things that we can be doing. So just encourage you to look for opportunities through this season as well to not only be able to help and to serve and care, but also we want to make sure that we're demonstrating that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, whether you're on the dismissive side or the overreaction side or wherever you're at on the spectrum and fear, anxiety, or none at all, we need to remember Jesus is Lord and live that out in our attitude and our actions. But definitely just encourage you to just look for opportunities and see how God's going to use you. But, you know, as I was thinking about today and the fact that it's been called out to be a National Day of Prayer during this season, it reminded me of going back in my early days. I had just in the year, I believe this first year of my pastoral ministry as a lead pastor was 2001. And I remember after 9/11, how many prayer services were scheduled. And there was an immediate response to turn to God, seek prayer, because there was an immediate urgent need that people were feeling. There was fear. There was concern. And so as we think of that today, we want to be remembering what the intent of that is. The call to prayer is reminding us of where do we typically turn when we find ourselves concerned, where we feel like we have help, and the things that we normally trust day to day don't seem to be working. It's amazing in our culture where we sometimes won't hear much about turning to God in prayer, but when there's a crisis, you hear a lot about turning to God in prayer. But we can do that on a personal level, too. We can say we trust God, but then we can just have our own things that we typically just do to get through each day of life that's more trusting ourselves, trusting other things, not really walking in a place of dependence upon trusting Him. I'm always amazed, and just to clarify, I did pick the hymn today in light of the message and in light of what's going on in our situation this week, but this message was scheduled months ago. Today's message is wrapping up the series on worship, and it's wrapping up the two-part week on talking about idols, but the theme, I think, is very relevant today of trusting God. And the call last week, we looked at the gods that we make and looking at Exodus 20. Today we're looking at the gods that we trust, the things that we put our trust in that really should be first and foremost an attitude of trust and dependence upon God first. So we're going to be unpacking that aspect of the issue of idols today. And so we're going to real quickly review where we were last week. But our main theme today, I think, fits where we're all at and what I think, whether, again, you may be here today, you're not concerned, but there are people in your circles that are. And so maybe you can take this message and encourage them with the call to put their help or seek the help of God and to put their trust in Him. But today, just real quickly, a real quick review from last week. If you go to the next slide. We looked at the first two commands in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, the call to have no other gods before me and to make no graven image or carved images of God. And then you had that phrase of God being, for God is a jealous God. And we highlighted three key themes with this, is that the call to have no other gods before me is not an issue of priority. It's an issue of exclusivity. That idea of having no other gods before me, it's the idea that God is saying, in my presence. Don't have any other gods in my presence. We're reminded, I mean, as much as we want to make sure God is first and foremost in our life and that issue of priority, we have to really be examining our hearts to say, are there things in our life that we're putting in the place of God in how we give our time and give our energy and give our lives as an act of worship, and remind ourselves that we need to make sure that it's not just an issue of keeping God first, it's making sure that there's only one that we truly worship. We also talked about the idea of the having no carved image, or the old King James, the graven image, gets down to that issue of being controlled. An idol you can control. God, in that prohibition, we talked about the fact that He is communicating, Yahweh is communicating. There's no control in our relationship with Him where we can try to manipulate to get exactly what we want. We go to Him in prayer, we ask for our needs, we bring our needs before Him, we go to Him in prayer, we bring those things to Him. But the God who created all is not a God that we can control, that we can use as a good luck charm or somehow get what we want out of Him. God invites us to be in a relationship with Him where we surrender our lives and we put our trust in Him. And all of that came down to the statement that the reason this is all, that we're called to this, is that because God is a jealous God. And while that sounds negative, the idea of us experiencing jealousy, God is communicating His desire to have our exclusive devotion. That our love, our devotion, our worship should be located to no one else. The God Himself. There is another aspect of idols, though. We talked a little bit, and if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go back, listen to that. It's online. But the idea of creating a wooden or a golden idol or whatever you created, a person would have created in that day, and having this place of worship, not only did it relate to the issues we just summarized and the things that we try to control or that we're in some way that we allow ourselves to let our hearts be captivated by other things. The practice of idol worship was also an issue of trust. It was, okay, I mean, Israel, you read through the Old Testament, you see again and again, Israel making choices to say, we're going to put our trust in Yahweh, Jehovah. We're going to trust the Lord, our God, the one who made all. Or we're going to trust Baal or all these other false gods. That issue of trust is an issue of our worship as well. Is who do we trust to care for us? Who do we trust to be with us in times of trial and challenge? Where do we turn? You know, as I was thinking about this morning and just that issue of the gods that we trust, I realized that there are a number of things that we can, this is not an exhaustive list, this is my kind of reflecting and thinking. In the world in which we live today, I think often, and this is probably of every generation, often we trust ourselves. And each of these are good in and of themselves. The idea of having confidence in your ability, confidence in growing in our wisdom and our strength to be able to navigate throughout life and not be a victim, those are all good things. But if we put our confidence in ourselves over God, that gets us into a place of trouble, and we have to ask ourselves, what do we really trust? Do we trust our wisdom and our strength, or what God calls us to? Do we trust Him? Technology. We live in a world in which we put a man on the moon. We created computers that used to fit in a room. Can now, even more powerful computers now fit in our front pocket. Our technology is incredible. And growing up and seeing the rapid changes, I mean, think about the technology changes you've seen in your lifetime. It could be very easy to fall into this place of trusting technology and believing that technology is going to save us. As a sci-fi fan, I always love the stories, the movies and stuff that say, well, no, sci-fi or the technology sometimes turns on us. If you're a sci-fi fan, you get that. But, I'm always amazed, and I know this sounds in some ways kind of funny, as someone who struggled with allergies their entire life, I'm amazed that we could put a man on the moon, but they still can't figure out a way to fix my allergies and my sinuses. Technology and science has its limitations, and we have to ask ourselves, what are we really going to trust, and who are we really going to trust? There's also an issue of trusting kings and kingdoms, and I have that as lowercase intentionally, because we've talked a lot about God's kingdom versus earthly kingdoms. Sometimes we put our hope in government and in political leaders, and we believe that that's our best hope. And we live in a culture that can get very, very divisive in how we handle those decisions. But we have to ask ourselves, are we really putting our hope and trust in God, or in something or someone else? In some sense, we all have a level, we need to have a level of trust in our wisdom and in our God-given abilities, the strengths that He's given us. We can enjoy the benefits of technology, and we need to be praying for our leaders to have godly wisdom and praying for them to be trustworthy and capable of leading us as a nation. But we also have to look at our hearts and say, where do we really put our ultimate confidence and trust? I also realize that when we read and look through Old and New Testament, God invites us to live in community where He invites us to trust each other, to care for each other's burdens, to carry each other's burdens and care for one another, to encourage and challenge, rebuke, to love, and all those one another's. That's a way of we trust each other, we care for each other. Those are good things. But at our deepest level of our heart and understanding who and what we trust, we have to ask ourselves, is our ultimate source of help God Himself or someone or something else? And so that brings us to the text today. We're going to be looking at Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is one of my favorite psalms, and there's some musical renditions of this. And I know we've looked at this passage before, but this just kept coming to my mind this week as I was thinking about not only the message on idols and the gods that we trust, but also just in light of everything going on. The verse starts in Psalm 121, and we're going to read the first two verses, and we're going to comment, talk about this a little bit, and then we'll come back to Psalm 121 to wrap up the message today. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That statement, I lift my eyes to the hills, just a couple comments on that. If you go and actually study this, you'll find some commentators that look at that phrase, the hills, as a positive view of the hills, in a sense of taking your eyes from earth and looking upward. The idea of looking at the heavenly heights or the place where God is enthroned and have a more positive view. I tend to lean more on those who look at that as more of a negative view. The mountains could be viewed as a more of a place of danger. One commentator made the description and said it's not like Julie Andrews in the Alps and the Sound of Music and that beautiful scene in the mountaintops. It's more like Lord of the Rings going over the Misty Mountains, a place of danger. A more negative view of that as well that is actually something I remember one of my professors years ago at Asbury shared with me, that there's also, for the people that were experiencing this, and what you see in Psalm 121 is this idea of the people on a journey. And some are suggesting they're on the journey to Jerusalem to worship. But there's definitely this theme and this image of the idea of life as a journey and how we're going to trust God and let him be our help. They understood, too, what were on most of those mountains and those high places. Throughout the book of 1 and 2 Kings, we see again and again this issue of the high places. And we understand that the mountains were often the places where altars were set up to worship God, Yahweh, but also many times to set up altars to worship false gods. And so the call of I lift my eyes to the hills and where does my help come from is reminding yourself, well, what altar are we going to bow to and who are we going to turn our eyes to for help? 1 Kings 3:2 says that the people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. The temple had yet to be built, and so there were individual places where people were worshiping Yahweh. They were worshiping the true God, but they weren't centralized yet to having that place of worship. But we also see that there were also false gods that were being worshipped. 1 Kings 14:23 says, "For they also built for themselves high places and pillars and Asherim on every high hill and under every green tree." 1 Kings 15:14 says, "But the high places," and it's talking about King Asa, he's talking about all the good things that he did, but it says in verse 14, "But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly true to the Lord all of his days." 2 Kings 12:3 says, "Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, and the people continued to sacrifice and make offerings on the high places." This idea of I lift my eyes to the hills is would have been a reminder that this is a place of worship. And some were choosing to worship God, some were choosing to worship false gods and other idols. And so the question that's being asked in verse 1 of Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the hills, where does my help come? Is the question that not only those on this journey were asking, but it's the question that we all have to ask. In this journey of life, where do we find our help? Who will we trust? That question of where does my help come from could, I believe, accurately be replaced with who will I trust? Because where we're going to find our help is where we go with confidence saying, I can trust this person. We see this moving away from Psalm 121 for a moment. Before we do that, it's good to answer the question. Verse 1, where does my help come from? Who do I trust? Verse 2, whatever your view of the hills, the answer is still the same in verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That statement in light of our conversation on idols is so critical because we understand that God is not one who could be contained in wood or in gold or any of these things that these idols would have been created from. God is the one who actually created all things. He's the one who made heaven and earth, and he is the one who our help comes from. So the question is, where does my help come from? Who do I trust? The answer, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We see that in David, in Psalm 20, verses 6 through 7, King David makes a statement that gives us a picture into his heart and realizing that instead of choosing to trust the strength of his armies, he renewed his trust in God's provision for him. Psalm 20, verse 6 through 7 says, "Now I know the Lord saves his anointed." The anointed being King David, he's the anointed king. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. David understood that no matter how big his army was or how small his army was, no matter what strength or power he had, David understood that his true help, his true power, his true strength came from the Lord, the one who anointed him and set him aside to be king. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, these are my life verses. And I always qualify this to say it's not because I master this. It's typically when I get off track, I have to come back to these verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." God's given us brains. He's given us minds to be able to think things through. But there's a danger, and this is as someone who's analytical and always thinking ahead five steps, where I've gotten off track in my life is where I'm trying to figure things out on my own instead of trusting God's plan. Relying solely on my own wisdom, my own understanding, instead of trusting God to lead and direct my paths. When I think of that idea of trusting myself versus trusting God, I'm always reminded of those days when my kids were younger, where they were starting to gain that independence. And I know I've shared this before, where both of my kids went through phases where they didn't want to hold my hand when we were out walking. And we'd be in a parking lot or somewhere where I'm like, "No, you don't have an option. You're going to hold my hand." But you could see this streak of independence that was forming in them, which is good. That's helping. It's healthy development. They're growing. They're becoming independent. They're becoming strong in their views. Sometimes really strong, 3 and 4 year olds. But that image of my kids and me having to grab and physically grab their hand and say, "No, you're going to hold me." It was so much easier in those moments where they maybe had enough concern. They said, "Yeah, I need to hold mom and dad's hand. And I'm going to trust him." That's the picture of these words of trusting God, not leaning on our own understanding and relying on our own wisdom, our own strength. We're going to choose to trust God. We're recognizing that we need his guidance. We need his help. We need his strength. Israel, again and again, were challenged by the prophets to keep their trust in God alone, to not turn to other gods. And we see that Israel eventually went into bondage and exile because they let their hearts and their devotion wander instead of remaining true to the relationship with the God who called them and formed them as a nation. Isaiah, the prophet, says in Isaiah 12:2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." Today, as we jump back here in a moment to Psalm 121, I want to ask you, where are you at in whatever you're facing today? Whether you're here today and maybe everything going on in the world around you, maybe it's not phasing you, but maybe there's some other issues that you're struggling with. Maybe a separate health issue. Maybe a concern for a loved one. Concern for one of your kids or your parent. Maybe some concerns for those that are at situations at work. Or a difficulty you're having with a neighbor or whatever. Chances are, if we're honest, every one of us has something that we would list as a concern. Something that's causing fear or anxiety in our life. And we have to ask ourselves, in light of this concern, in light of this thing that I'm worried about, where am I turning first for help? It's good that we can turn to each other, that we can be a community of faith and depend on each other and encourage each other. But we also, and it's good that we can turn to our doctors. It's good that we can turn to a counselor or a trusted friend. But I want to ask you, are you also turning first to God and putting your trust and help in him? Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 again. The question, from where does my help come? Who am I going to trust? The answer, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. These verses go on to illustrate this and giving justification for why Yahweh, the Lord God Jehovah, is worthy of us putting our full trust in him. And there's a word that keeps creeping up again and again. And in the translation I'm reading from, the ESV, the word is keep. From verses 3 on, you see this word keep come up again and again. Some of your translations may have something different. But the word that's translated here is the idea of keeping, guarding, protecting. It's the idea of watchful care. Like that protective parent who's grabbing their kid's hand to say, I'm going to lead you. I'm watching over you. I've got you. Whether you want to hold my hand or not, I've got you. So with that in mind, every time you hear the idea of keep, have that image in your mind of God's watchful care over your life. Look at verses 3 and following. It says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. I always remind people of that verse when I pray with them before they go in for surgery. Because I found help in that years ago when I had my back surgery to know that while I was going to be under asleep, God wasn't. He was going to be with the doctors guiding their hands. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Whatever you're facing today, we can be reminded that God is worthy of us coming and putting our trust in him. When you look at what concerns you and what's weighing upon your heart and your life right now, you can be reminded that God is our keeper, that he is our help. And we can choose to put our faith and our trust in him. You know, sometimes we're going to need to make that phone call to the friend or the fellow church person or church member and say, hey, I'm going through a rough time and I need someone here. Just going to encourage me, and we need that. We need that fellowship. But even that is a way of God providing for you and caring for you. I want to encourage you today, whatever your concern is, whether it's the challenge of the coronavirus, or whether it's the concerns with your other health issues, or whether it's concerns for your loved ones, or personal struggles, of finance, relationships, some other fear or anxiety that you're carrying. No matter what concern you have, remember today that God invites us to trust him. Let him be our help. Let him keep us, watch over us, and be with us. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness, that we can always put our faith and trust in you. Lord, you are trustworthy. Lord, we can depend upon you. Sometimes you don't remove the obstacle. Sometimes you walk with us through it. But Lord, whether it's removing it or walking with us through those challenges, help us to just reach out, hold your hand, to trust you. Help us to place our full faith and confidence in you and trust you with what else is going on in this world. Lord, we just pray that we would have an extreme confidence in you and your provision for us. Lord, I just pray that in the midst of a world that is dealing with a significant amount of anxiety and a lot of questions about what is going on in this world, Lord, help us to be people who live out in our words and our actions and our attitudes the truth that we declare that Jesus, you are Lord. You're Lord over the coronavirus. You're Lord over whatever cares and concerns we have, and we can trust you. Lord, help us to be people that communicate that truth and communicate peace to others. But also, Lord, I pray that in this coming week that you would move upon each of us individually. Lord, show us, open up our eyes to see the needs around us. Lord, help us to make those phone calls, to check in on our neighbors, to just make sure that we can use this opportunity to bear witness to you and to demonstrate your love and your care and concern. I pray that you give wisdom, Lord, from our president to all our national leaders as well as state and local leaders. Lord, we pray for wisdom and direction. Pray for those in our church locally as well as our denomination. And Lord, all of those who have to make decisions in light of the things going on in this world, Lord, we pray for your wisdom and your direction. Lord, in all of this, we pray that we would demonstrate a Christ-like humility, that we would demonstrate true love and genuine care and concern for our neighbors. And Lord, that through all of that, we would just trust you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.